and welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and this week we're without Tristan Vick. Both of us had sick kids this week, and so we decided to not try and work this show into our family schedules. Instead, I'm going to bring you an interview that I had with Alan Reed. Alan is the director of stadium grounds at FC Dallas, and he's been with FC Dallas since 2005. He's an A&M grad, and he was a real pleasure to talk to. And one of the reasons why we decided to have Alan on the show is because we wanted to take a little bit more of a look into more of the things around soccer, around the professional soccer team, besides just the team and the players and the tactics and stuff. There's a whole lot more that goes into making a club tick. And we thought it would be interesting to kind of take a look at some of the things that, you know, you really don't really think about very much whenever you're thinking about a professional team. And with all the rain that we got down in Houston and several of the other stadiums that have had experienced flooding this season, I thought that it might be interesting to take a look at FC Dallas's stadium and the crew and the things that go on there, because the stadium is underground after all. And so without further ado, here's my interview with Alan Reed. I hope you find it as interesting as I did. You're listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show.
Howdy. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, we thought we'd get a different perspective on how things work at FC Dallas. And so I've got a couple questions for you about the stadium and the pitch and how things just kind of work there on a non-sporting level. So we're glad to have you.
Thank you. Yes.
So tell me a little bit. With all the rain that's been happening in South Texas, and you've seen some other stadiums have some rain problems this year, tell me a little bit about Toyota Stadium's drainage system. Like, how does it work and what kind of capacity? Because, you know, the stadium's up underground or basically. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Okay. So basically the stadium pitch is basically a 2-acre golf green. So what it is, it's a USGA sand-based field. Composed of 12 inches of sand. Then below the sand is a gravel layer. And below the gravel layer is lateral drain lines running diagonally across the field on 15-foot centers. So basically, when we have rain, the rain drains through the sand, drains down to the subgrade, gets into the drains, which then flow into our perimeter drains around the field and are then funneled into a holding tank, which is inside the tunnel area where we house all of our equipment. And then from there, we have three main pumps that pump all the water from the holding tank out into our irrigation ponds, which we then reuse to irrigate the fields. All the water that collects in there comes from the seeding bowl, everything that drains down to field level, all gets into the holding tank, and as that holding tank fills up, one pump kicks on if it's a heavy rain and it's filling up quickly. Two pumps will kick on, and so forth, and then so on until we get to the third pump on a heavy rain, and it'll get this water out of here pretty quick.
So it's kind of like a French drain at your house, but on steroids.
Super steroids. Yes. So as long as we're doing what we are supposed to do maintenance wise to the field should keep draining. When the field's constructed and it's just straight sand, no grass, no nothing on top of it yet, they say it can handle 15 to 20 plus inches an hour. As soon as you put sod on the field, that will slow your drainage. And we haven't had any perk tests done in a while, but I would say we're anywhere probably from 2 to 3 inches an hour on the drainage. We've had a couple of rain events here the past month, I guess, where it's rained quite a bit right before the match or even during the match, and we picked up a significant amount of rain and it's drained down with no puddling, and that's what we're looking for.
Very cool. Is there anything special you have to do? Like, if you know it's going to rain, do you have to
there's several different things we can do. We're constantly watching the weather, and I thought this week was going to turn tricky on us. We ended up getting lucky, and Harvey ended up tracking and further east of here. one of the maintenance things I was talking about doing in the field. We're constantly aerating the field, which is softening up the field. The sand based fields, you want anywhere from, you've got your sand, then you've got your pore space, and you want anywhere from 35 to 50% pore space, which your pore space is going to be your airspace, allowing the grass to breathe. And then you want about 25% airspace. You want about 25% water holding capacity in that. So of that pore space, you want 25% of that to be moisture. And we're constantly monitoring that. We've got some tools that we can use to measure the soil moisture in the field. And we can tell where we're at. If we're holding water, that means we're getting a little bit more compacted due to the events that we've had on the field. And in that case, we'll come in and we'll aerate the field, which is loosening that sand back up, creating that airspace. And then as you're loosening the sand, that will actually allow that water to drain down. So we've got several different tools we're always measuring the field with. We're measuring surface hardness. We're measuring the soil moisture. So we know on a weekly basis where we're at. And so we know if we have a big rain event and our measurements are reading firm and our soil moisture's at a higher percentage than we want, we know we're probably going to hold water so we can come in and soften it up a little bit and allow that water to drain. This year, we've actually, we purchased some tarps to go on the field for any significant rain events. Mm-hmm. We've pulled them out once and the sun came out. And so we rolled them back up and put them back in storage. So we've been bitten a few times in the past after some events where we've been compacted. We haven't been able to get in and do the maintenance we needed to, and got some good rain and field puddled up on us. And once it stops raining as heavy as it has in the past, the field will drain, but we like to be proactive and not get to that point.
Sure.
But there we do have rain tarps and extreme emergencies now. It's something, you know, it's not something like baseball where you where we can just throw them out during a match and then roll them right back off. It's something more like leading up to, if we're going to have a 2-3 day rain event, we can kind of like what they had predicted earlier in the week going to mm-hmm. happen here. You know, we're all day rain today and all day rain tomorrow. We could utilize that, and the way it turned out, we haven't had to, but we do have a little safety net there with that. And once game time rolls around, it's the maintenance we've done to the field and the reason we build sand-based fields is for the drainage, so we can play in the rain.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's just say you have a concert on the field during the week and then a game on the weekend. How long does it take you to do that aeration and that loosening up the sand, getting everything ready once you get the floor off of the turf?
So normally our concerts are on the weekends, and then we have the next weekend to get ready for a match. There's been times in the past where we've got soccer or concerts on Saturday and then Wednesday soccer matches. So mm-hmm. with the concert on Saturday, we'll put the flooring out Friday morning. They'll come set out the front of house, the chairs, concessions. And then on Saturday, they do their sound checks and run the concert. Then after the concert, they're immediately picking up the chairs, breaking down anything. And then we're back 5 a.m. Sunday morning, picking up the floor. We're done picking up the floor around noon. And then depending on how much time we have till our next event, we'll either do things that afternoon or we'll come in on Monday morning the next day. And we have several different pieces of aeration equipment. We can get the field aerated in about 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
We have some that That's takes quick. More 4, 5, 6 hours. Just depends on what we're doing and how quick of a turnaround we're going to have. So we can soften it up pretty quick and have the field playable.
Nice.
We had several, I think after one of the concerts, I think we had a Wednesday match this earlier in the spring where it was either the U.S. women or somebody was here mm-hmm. midweek and 2-3 days we can have the field back to the feel they want. The grass may not always look 100%, but we can get the drainage back.
That's interesting. So do you guys, for each home game, do you have to repaint the lines and everything? Or
so we paint every week. I say every week. We paint before every match. The team normally trains in the stadium 2 days prior.
Okay.
So they trained actually, they'll train actually Thursday for a Saturday match. So we'll put some lines out there for them, say on Wednesday, they'll train. We'll do a few things. We'll do some testing of the field, see if our surface hardness or softness, however you want to put it, is where we want it to be, where the players like it. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, we can fix that. And then we'll restripe the field on the day before the match. So it'll be a Friday before Saturday match.
And you guys do, is the striping, is that when you look at it, like one part of the grass looks lighter than the other?
Well, that is our mow patterns, but yeah, the striping, the painting of the field. So we'll paint it the day prior to a match. In most cases, now that we're getting into the fall, we've got high school football. And so that's another beast in its own.
Oh yeah. Sounds like it could kind of get a little tricky with all that usage.
Yeah. So the football, it creates more challenges for us. The wear pattern on the field is a little bit different.
Yeah, right there in the middle.
Kind of right in the middle, right in the hashes. Pretty much that rectangle right down the middle where soccer is kind of a diamond-shaped wear pattern. Hmm. So the football causes a little more issues. They'll compact the field a little bit more because you've got 22 guys right there. Running up and down the middle to where it's for soccer, they're all over the place. So this weekend we've got our first football game Friday night. After the football is over, we'll have a crew come in and we'll break down all the football stuff and then start transitioning the pitch and everything field level back to soccer. So we'll be.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the wear patterns and how they'd be different there.
That's more for our maintenance, really, or it causes more issues with our maintenance. Not more issues, but we focus in on areas a little bit different for football than we do soccer.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So you mentioned the mowing patterns. Who gets to decide what the mowing pattern is going to be? Do you have like a mowing pattern design guy, or does it?
So U.S. soccer or FIFA, they kind of have a design they like, and MLS as well. They like the 6-yard stripes going east-west across the field. I like that. It's a good look. It's mm-hmm. something simple. We've done some crazy things in the past. The EPL just put a regulation on this year that it's got to be the 6-yard stripes. I know they had a guy doing some pretty wild designs.
That was the Leicester City guy, right?
Yes. And
well, that seems kind of like a killjoy.
It is. It doesn't affect the game. It's just visually watching it. It's not going to affect the players on the field at all. I've talked with the league some earlier in the year about the mow patterns. Mm-hmm. They've asked me, what I think, and every now and then we'll get a wild hair. We could do something. The thing with us is we're ryegrass half the year and Bermuda grass half the year. The Bermuda grass, which we have right now, it doesn't stripe up as well. Mm-hmm. The ryegrass stripes up easier. And it looks good. It's easier to put a pattern in on the ryegrass. And so the league right now doesn't have any regulations. We're in talks. Some of us groundskeepers are in talks with them about getting some approved patterns that we can switch up. Because that goes into our maintenance practices. If you've ever watched baseball, you'll see some of the outfield patterns where they're checkerboarded. And right. If you keep mowing the same pattern every day, you'll see that ball, the grain of the grass will actually catch the ball and make it go left or right with the pattern of the grass. And when you kick the ball across the field, you want the ball to roll smooth. You don't want it when it's changing stripes of the pattern. You don't want it moving left or right. Because I could throw a goalkeeper off,
Oh yeah.
I've seen it throw outfielders off in baseball. And so it's more, the league has what they like visually, how they like it. And it's a good look. It's clean. It's easy. Mm-hmm. And from a maintenance standpoint, us groundskeepers are trying to inform them of, okay, well, we can't just always do this. We have to mix it up. So if you do see a different pattern on a game day or different, if you do see other patterns, it's not us, and some of us like to show off what we can, show off the full patterns that we can think of or do. It's an artistic deal. But it's more creativity. Of a maintenance. Exactly. It's more maintenance and health of the grass and playing a game. So, but there's no regulations right now, and we can kind of pick and choose what we want to do, really.
Gotcha. And,
we keep it simple.
Very cool. So you mentioned the ball being affected by the turf, like with the direction of the grain and all that. I'm a Liverpool fan, and one of the things that Anfield just recently did was replace their turf because the coach was complaining that the ball was slowing down on the turf and hampering their counterattack. And so they wanted to put in a faster turf. So from the turf perspective, what is a fast turf versus a slow turf? What does that mean? And in layman's terms?
Okay. So if you've ever noticed, we do water the field prior to matches, especially early in the spring with our ryegrass. Our ryegrass can get kind of sticky. And so if it's dry and you're trying to pass the ball across to the other side of the pitch, the grass can actually slow the ball down when it's sticky like that. Mm-hmm. If you put a little bit of water on there, the friction will kind of go away. So that ball will skid across there and get to actually who you're passing it to. And so that's one way to speed up the game is to the amount of water you put on it. It it's going to vary here because we're ryegrass and Bermuda grass. One thing we've done is we've lowered our mowing height. And so the shorter you mow it, the tighter that grass is going to be and the quicker that ball will move across there. So that's one thing that we do here to speed up the game a little bit because our guys do like it quick. They're, I don't know much soccer, but I'd say we're a pretty quick team.
Yeah, I think they do have a tendency to go to a counterattacking style, which would make sense. They'd want to like get the ball down the field faster. So like, is that something that you kind of just take from the players or does the coaching staff come to you guys and just be like, hey, can we do this or that? Like, how does that work?
So we work very closely with coaches and communicate some with the players if we catch them. And the coaches are getting feedback from the players. And so we're taking that feedback and we're putting that into our everyday maintenance. So if they want it fast, we can make it fast. A lot of times it's just adding a little bit of water to that leaf tissue and that ball will just scoot around for you. But we're working very close with them and always we're always keeping on our end, you know, the best interest of the grass in mind. You know, if we can do it, we'll do it. And so and a lot of times we will normally try to find a way to make it happen and suit their game and not really,
within reason.
Create a home field advantage. Yes, within reason. You know, we don't want to do anything detrimental, but we do want to, you know, to create a home field advantage here for these guys and they're used to their pitch and we try to keep it consistent all year so they know every time they step on the field it's going to be the same every match, you know, no matter what, no matter if we just had a concert or like this weekend if we've had football on Friday night and soccer on Saturday. So they know that it's going to be consistent throughout the year. And so the more feedback we get from them, the better it makes it, allows us to keep it consistent.
That's interesting. For FC Dallas fans that don't, you know, may not really pay attention to the grounds or the type of work you guys do, what is something interesting about the FC Dallas facilities or the grounds or the grounds crew or something that fans might be interested to know, but they don't know?
I don't know if there's anything interesting. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff about us.
All right. So let's rephrase this. What is your favorite thing about the stadium and working with FC Dallas?
I mean, I love FC Dallas. I've been here for almost 13 years and can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing. But if there's one particular part of the stadium that I do like and design and the build of it is the north stage. That allows us to host these concerts on a weekend without doing too much damage to the field. Because you look at these other facilities where they're having to come in and build a stage on the actual playing surface. Mm-hmm. They're in there seven days building it. You got your one day concert and then another 3 or 4 days breaking down the stage. Whereas our stage is here, it's permanent. And then we can turn around a concert in about 48 to 55 hours. So that's probably my favorite, you know, the favorite part of the design here. And then, I mean, it's, I love coming in every day. I don't consider it work because I love what I do. I love the challenge of everything that we do here.
That's a dream, isn't it?
it's a dream job. Yes.
Yeah. Has anything embarrassing ever happened? Like where the sprinklers have come on during the middle of the game or anything like that?
Knock on wood. No, the sprinklers have not come on during the match. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything. We've had some hiccups, but you learn from your mistakes and you keep moving.
Gotcha. Well, cool. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. And hopefully people have a little bit better glimpses to what goes into making a soccer team tick. And yeah, so thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. It was great to be on here.
The Dallas Soccer Show, your source of FC Dallas banter and U.S. men's national team news and coverage. All right. Big thanks to Alan Reed for coming on the show, for making the time out of his preparation for the FC Dallas game this weekend. They play the New York Red Bull at home, and if it's a holiday weekend, so try to get out and see the match. Hopefully we can cheer them on to a little bit of a slump buster this weekend. I know that there's going to be a lot of players out for international break, so maybe it'll be a chance to get to see some of the younger faces, some of the faces that we don't get to see very often, and maybe that's just what we'll need to get us out of the slump. So if you like the show, please give us a follow on social media, but more importantly, tell your friends so that they can enjoy the show as well. If you have any comments or feedback, please feel free to get a hold of us on social media or on Twitter. We are @DallasSoccerShow. All right. Have a good holiday weekend. Bye, everybody.